You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with writer-director Neil Blomkamp. Best known for his films District 9 and Elysium, Blomkamp has carved out his place in science fiction. With his latest film, Demonic, he ties that sci-fi world into that of the paranormal. In this one-on-one, we get to speak to Blomkamp about the connection between science fiction and horror, his unique visual style, and his use of volumetric capture. Welcome to the conversation.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. This is a real privilege. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. I appreciate
awesome.
It.
Awesome. No, yeah. Thank you.
Demonic is great. I mean, the film, not in general. the film Demonic is great.
thank you. That's awesome.
Yeah. I was wondering, where did you get the idea for such a unique story?
You know, I feel like, I don't know. It's hard to explain the process that this film took to end up getting made, because it's so unusual. It's such a weird process that I certainly wasn't used to. But it honestly is 100% the result of the pandemic and having a space and time where I could work on something that would be self-financed and just kind of in my own control. And you know, I was able to either to choose to work on something or not, because everything else had been put on pause. Mm. And I was always inspired by paranormal activity and this idea of going out and just shooting something and using the items that you have around you to make it happen. And so when we started thinking about doing that in, you know, April or March of last year, I went through a bunch of things that were ideas that I'd kind of accumulated, some of which I thought maybe at some point would be better suited to like our own studio stuff online, and some of which may or may not be in films at some point. And the two things that really stood out to me was, because I wanted to make something like Paranormal Activity that probably had some kind of demonic possession element, I knew I was dealing with demonic possession. And the one idea that I always wanted to mess around with was this process called volumetric capture, which is an unusual approach to computer graphics where you capture actors. And it never felt like it was prime time ready for like normal Hollywood filmmaking. It felt kind of glitchy and super cool looking and lo-fi. So I had volumetric capture as an idea that I wanted. And then I had this other separate idea about the Vatican operating in more of a sort of 21st century way, where they would use all of the capital that they had to buy up corporations and go about the genre trope of sniffing out who is possessed, but in a slightly more corporate way. And I just kind of combined those two ideas together against the background of demonic possession. And the film story sort of emerged from that combination. Very yeah. Strange, like not a normal thing.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So it was a number of threads that sort of came together, and
yeah,
you talked about, and forgive me, the way that you created the simulation. I forget what the title of it is that you just mentioned.
Volumetric capture.
That was it. Can you talk about that? Because it really was a unique look, and the simulation, it's sort of unlike anything that I've ever seen before.
Yeah, it's a very new technology. I mean, there's in computer graphics, there's this thing called photogrammetry, which has been around a lot longer, which is taking hundreds of photos of a still object, like a sculpture or a building or anything, and then giving the computer all of those photos of the object from multiple angles, and then letting the computer extrapolate a three-dimensional object out of it, kind of like a CAD file, like a 3D, you know, virtual object. And the thing that's weird about photogrammetry is all of the RGB data, the actual photography data, also comes in. It's not just a gray object, which is what CAD files look like. It actually has color and tone to it. So it looks kind of photoreal. So volumetric capture is this much more recent version of photogrammetry, where it's essentially doing the same thing. It's just that it's doing it 24 times a second. So you're basically getting like, you know, it's almost like classical old school animation, where on a timeline you would have an object that is changing shape over over the course of time. But if you stopped it at any one of them, it would be a three-dimensional sculpture. So volumetric capture allows for the capturing essentially of three-dimensional video, but the resolution isn't totally there yet. And so I love the look of it. Aesthetically, I think it looks amazing. And I always wanted to use it. And this is why, going back to your first question, I was like, I've definitely filed this away in my head as something I want to mess around with in future. So what is the right application for it? And then when you're dealing with a lower budget horror film where you can kind of, you know, just try something, I was like, well, this seems like a good place to do it. And then as long as you can sort of justify it on a narrative level that the audience would assume it's sort of written into the script in a way that it is a prototype piece of technology within the story. And then they'll give it the slack that it requires. If you just try to put it forward as like normal CG, the audience would push away more, I think.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to describe it there too, because it really does feel more immersive in some ways by feeling less, less CG, you know?
Less perfect, yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting. I was wondering too, if you could talk about the character design, because the demon itself, I mean, it's not exaggerating. This is the stuff of nightmares. And it's almost bird-like.
Yeah. It's definitely very, very avian for sure.
Yeah, I was wondering, where did that come from?
I don't know. That one is more subconscious. I mean, I think my wife is really into birds and animals in general. So we have a parrot, and she's also into crows and ravens. Mm-hmm. And I think I was maybe just thinking about ravens and crows. And then at the beginning of the pandemic, I was also looking up a lot of images of plague mosques from the Middle Ages with the long sort of beak-like, you know, point that they used to put lavender in for not smelling corpses. Mm-hmm. And I think, that looks like a beak. So I think I was maybe riffing on that. But in the script, I wrote a description that's very similar to what is actually in the movie. And I sent that to a concept artist that I always use. Her name is Eve Ventrue. And she drew the creature, like, you know, pretty much exactly as it looks in the film. It was like the easiest concept design thing I've ever done. And when I saw it, I instantly loved it.
Yeah. Oh, it really is good. And as like I said, it's, again, it fits that uniqueness to the style and is just terrifying.
I'm glad you like it. I definitely thought there was a huge possibility the audience would think the beak was like extremely goofy, but I enjoyed it.
No, it works. It works. Now it's interesting because like you'd said before, you wanted to do something about demonic possession. This sort of strays away from, I mean, you certainly use technology a great deal in this film, but what was it that inspired you to explore the paranormal? Like that seems different to the films you've mm-hmm. made thus far.
I mean, I guess it's similar to saying like what inspires you to make science fiction films. You know, it's the same kind of thing. Like it's. I think any artist is drawn to things. You can try to intellectualize it, but there's probably so much sort of subconscious computation going on that it's hard to know exactly. But I get as much. It's as interesting to me, that genre, as science fiction is. I just haven't really worked in it yet. So I like the amount of subconscious ideas that are happening in horror. I mean, it's a very strange concept, right? Like if you pay money for a movie ticket to sit in a theater to be terrified and feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you explain that? Like, so obviously there's some sort of catharsis thing that's happening on the side of the viewer. And I think making films in the same genre, it's probably similar. So I don't know. I've always enjoyed films like The Exorcist or The Shining, and yeah, it's hard to intellectualize exactly why.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about the relationship between the two genres? Because on paper, they feel very different. One is more based on technology, scientific fact, and one is more in the spiritual realm. I was wondering how you feel that those two genres interact.
I mean, I'm not sure how they interact. They are definitely both present in this film, but I think regardless of genre, any genre that a filmmaker is working in is attempting to either you know, move the audience emotionally or to try to explain the way that they see the world through their eyes. And so both science fiction and horror both have an interesting way of doing that. Like science fiction can be sort of allegorical or metaphorical in a way that the audience may not be aware that they're viewing a topic from a different point of view to the way that they actually think of that real topic. And horror could be a journey into, you know, parts of the psyche that it allows you to get to in a way that traditional other genres may not really be as accessible in that sense. So, but I'm not sure how they interact with one another.
Mm. Well, you know, having just said that, one of the things I wondered is about both sci-fi and horror. Like you said, these genres are ones that are great places to wrestle with complex issues. Certainly you've done that before with District 9 and Elysium. I mean, this is embedded in your work in Chappie. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, what is it about these genres that are such a great place to wrestle with issues like that?
I mean, to me, speaking only for me, I find it interesting that it can be a sort of a mirror image that's reflected back at the society, but where the way that you're looking, the angle of approach to the topic can be from a different POV that maybe you weren't thinking of or you weren't aware of. You know, and I'm not saying I've gotten that right, but it's an attempt to try to do that. And I think that's probably why I find it so interesting. It just, you know, it creates a way for the audience to sort of have a fresh look at a topic.
Absolutely, it does. And I appreciate that. We're running low on time, Neil. Can I ask you about the potential of District 10? I've heard that you have one in the works, but it's not a direct sequel. The sequel. Can I ask you about that?
I mean, all I've really said is that we're busy working on the screenplay for it. And, you know, it's like, other than that, there's not really any information to explain, I suppose.
That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. I also would be remiss if I didn't ask you this one too, so forgive me. But I mean, we've seen things over the years of hints of, you know, almost wishes of you pursuing a project that was interested in the Alien franchise. Is that something you'd still like to do? Is that gone the way of the dodo? Or just wondering.
Yeah, no, I think it's gone the way of the dodo. I also just only want to focus on stuff going forward. You know, there's too much dwelling on these projects that are in history. So, I mean, I'm sort of in forward trajectory rather than reverse.
Of course. And I understand that. And honestly, Demonic is a great step forward. I love the unique blend of the styles and the photo capture, the style for the, especially for the immersive segments of it. Just well done. And I really appreciate the chance to speak with you. So thank you so much, Neil.
Yeah, thank you. That's awesome. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. All right, great. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Cheers.
Okay, bye-bye.